Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Films presents the new documentary, Tua. He attempts to overcome a career-threatening injury and rise as one of the most uniquely skilled players in the history of football. Tua premieres tomorrow at 4 p.m. Eastern on Fox. And, Colin, we even get to see you in the documentary.
Yes, I am in that documentary. I'm into recruiting. He's probably the most discussed high school quarterback. I'm trying to think of, in my life of following recruiting, Tua was the most most discussed quarterback. His leadership, his style from Hawaii, his upbringing, really an interesting kid. I really like him. He's different. I mean, it's like, you know, years ago in the NFL, would you take a guy, a left-hander that's that small? Maybe not. Now the world's changed. I mean, now it's Kyler Murray. Like the NFL used to just eliminate people. You just didn't have a chance. 6'4", 6'1", I don't know. Like now the league is like, athletic, good leader, throw a good ball, you're in. Like
we've
opened the door for all shapes and all sizes and all. Josh Allen's a building and Tua's smaller and Kyle Murray's smaller and they can all play. If you can play, you can play. That's what it's about for me. I just think there's so many great young quarterbacks. I think we're all lucky. I think in my life, there's never been a time. We got maybe 4 or 5 teams starting quarterback pretty weak. Used to be in the NFL. I mean, I grew up in the 70s, 80s watching it. Half the league, you had a quarterback that you thought you're just getting by until you can find one. It's not that way anymore.
Well, now you have so many different personalities, so many different styles, and as you mentioned, they're all succeeding.
And way better early.
Unbelievable creative offensive minds working with these different styles and ages and sizes. It's exciting. And we got him in Miami.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. TJ Houshmandzadeh played in the NFL for over a decade, a pro bowler, all full of wisdom. He is joining us here now on a Friday as we get ready for a great NFL weekend via the Coward Global Satellite Network. So let's start with this. You watched the game last night. I thought it looked and sounded like football. The empty seats didn't bother me. If you were playing, is it harder to play without fans, many fans in the stands?
It seems like it would be. In training camp, for instance, in training camp, you practice in training camp, and the day you scrimmage and fans are allowed in, you just have a better practice. You're excited. You just feel better about, okay, I'm tired of going against the same guys, but there's fans here to watch us, so I have to give it my all. So I'm sure for the guys that's been in the league and used to big crowds, it was a big difference for them. But you're just ready to play football. At the end of the day, it's a different jersey. You're ready to play football.
Your former team, the Bengals, has Joe Burrow. I don't think it's entirely fair to say save the franchise day one with no preseason, but that's what we have. What are realistic expectations, TJ? Like, let's say they have a bad record, 4-12, 5-11. But what will you look at? Because the records, we can't judge him on the record. That's not him. But what will you look at from a rookie quarterback having played in this league for over a decade and go, I like that, I like that, I like that? What are you looking for from Burrow?
Is he getting rid of the ball on time? Is he skittish in the pocket? He showed at LSU last year that he had really good pocket presence. He was able to move around when need be, but he threw the ball on time. He put the ball. The biggest thing was he was very accurate. If he can throw the ball with accuracy, and the good thing, he has weapons at the skill position with the Bengals. You got A.J. Green if he can stay healthy, Tyler Boyd, T. Higgins, John Ross, Joe Mixon, good collection of tight ends. If that offensive line can protect him, I believe the Bengals should win between 5 and 7 games. But I just want to see him get rid of the ball on time and throw with accuracy. And if he's protected, he should do both of those things well.
So Dak's got a new coach and a new system. How long did it take you to learn a new coach and a new system offensively?
When you're the quarterback and you have to know protections, the run game, checks, and there's a lot to go into it. Now, it's been reported supposedly that they're keeping the same system, and it's going to be Mike McCarthy learning what they do. But I doubt that's going to be the case. I doubt it's going to be it's probably going to be a little bit of both, but it's going to take some time. But no preseason games, and you can practice it and do very well. But when you get out there and you really have to execute when it matters, it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks for them to feel good about what works, what doesn't work. I really like this play in practice, but it's just not showing up in a game that I like it the way I thought I did. And so it's going to take 3 to 4 weeks for them to feel some cohesiveness and get an idea of what works and what doesn't.
Yeah, that's really interesting. Some stuff, boy, it works great in practice. It doesn't work in the games. So one of the things, Jameis Winston is talented, but he could be wild. Brady is super accurate. And I think that does matter. When you're a wide receiver, and Jameis probably has as much arm talent as Brady, or more at this point, but Tom's really accurate. How would it affect you when you work with different quarterbacks and the ball's in the right spot and the timing's perfect? Does it change how you think breaking the huddle, how you run routes, how confident you are? Because these Tampa wide receivers, Tom will put it on a spot. How does it change you as a receiver?
It just lets you know you got a lot of catch and run opportunity. As far as coming out the huddle, you're not too much worried about that. I don't know how their offense works, but a lot of offenses is predicated on one high, two high reads. If it's a two high safety, the quarterback is going to work a certain side of the field. If it's a one high safety, he's going to work a certain side of the field. So if you're a smart receiver, you line up, you read the defense, you have an idea of where the ball should go. And so you start to look at, man, if he hits the ball right here, I got a nice catch and run situation. You know, a lot of guys nowadays, they catch the ball and they fall down. And so that could probably be the only thing that they'll say, reading the defense, this ball's probably going to come to me. If it's here, I can really catch a knife and get up the field and try to get some run after the catch. But with Brady, they've seen in practice, and again, intensity when you go against each other in practice is not going to be the same intensity that the defenders you play against in the game is going to bring. And so they'll get a feel for that. But with Brady's accuracy, they've seen we're going to have a lot of catch and run opportunities.
You know, it's interesting with Lamar Jackson and the Ravens. So he actually played really well down the stretch, the playoff game excluded, but you know, he played very, very well. And I just think he's a kid. One of the things he's really good at is he listens to the critics, and he has said, he's come out back-to-back off seasons and said, yeah, I listen to people, they're right, I have to do this better. And the most pro athletes, if they do that, they wouldn't tell you. I expect him to just take it up another level. But it does appear at this point in his career, he plays better with a lead than he does behind. Most quarterbacks, it should be noted, do. Where do you think the growth will be from Lamar Jackson, who we know is athletic, we know he's coachable, we know he puts the time in, but do you think there's another level, and if so, what would it look like?
It's what you said. We won't see this until the playoffs start. Like, we're talking Lamar Jackson. He led the league in touchdown passes last year. Like, Lamar Jackson had more touchdown passes than any quarterback in the league. He's the reigning league MVP. And so his only knock on him, and it's a big knock, is he has not won a playoff game. And so that growth, that next step will have to come in the playoffs, because if he leads the league in touchdown passes again, he led it last year. And so it's going to be, can you do it in the playoffs when your team needs it the most? And we'll see that in January.
Yeah. I'm excited for it. I think Baltimore is the best team in the league. And I think, you know, when you bring back the coach and the quarterback, you know, it's funny about week one. Harbaugh is a great week one coach. So the last 4 years, they've held opponents to 10 or fewer points. McVay, Doug Peterson, offensive guys, Andy Reid are great opening week coaches because they come out with new wrinkles offensively and catch people off guard. Go back to your career. Did you ever have a coach who was really very, very good in week one or two? Just kind of a creative thinker. Did you have one of those?
Well, in Cincinnati, I played in the same offense every year, and then going to Seattle and Baltimore. I will say this. I feel like every team going into the first couple weeks of the season always have wrinkles. You always put in new things in training camp. And it's what I talked about earlier. Man, when you're in practice, you're like, oh my God, I cannot wait today till we run this play. It looks so good in practice in every coverage and against every front. And then you get in the game and you're like, it didn't work the way I thought it did. And so things that look good might not work, but every team has wrinkles. And it really boils down to calling the right play at the right time, expecting a certain defense. And that's why a guy like Andy Reid is so successful because he just has a knack for calling the right play at the right time.
Yeah. TJ Hushmanzada joining us. So last 3 years, Aaron Rodgers, passer ratings come down, completion percentages come down. And you can make an argument, it's the O-line, it's wide receivers. When you look at a quarterback, what do you look at and say, he's not quite what he was? What's the first thing you see from a quarterback, and you can tell, having played in this league for over a decade, not quite what he was? What do quarterbacks lose first?
I mean, you would initially, if you talk physical, you would say, oh, the ball doesn't have the zip on it. He doesn't have the arm strength that he used to have. But a lot of it is, if a quarterback is protected and the pocket is clean, they're going to be fine. And so if they have a clean pocket, they're not being touched up often. And the key is not to get touched up early in the game. If you can keep the quarterback pocket fairly clean early in the game, then they'll go throughout that game. Even if they start to get a little pressure later on in the game, if you give them that confidence and that comfort level early, they should be fine. But like guys like Aaron Rodgers, man, he's so, so talented that once he lost Donald Driver, Greg Jennings, Jordy Nelson, I mean, he was used to having great receivers year in and year out. And so now he's looking at it like, I go from having three studs to just Devontae. Give me more help and I can do what I was doing then now.
All right, I'm going to give you a couple of games and you tell me, who do you like and why? Seattle at Atlanta, who do you like and why?
I like the Seahawks. I just like Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson is one of the best players in the league. I like the fact that Seattle added Jamal Adams to the back end of that defense, Bobby Wagner in the middle of that defense. Seattle's going to be – they're going to be tough to deal with. If Russell Wilson – if they let him play early, don't go out to the club and – come in at 1 o'clock in the morning and everybody hungry and say, hey, Russell, go cook us some food, meaning they're going to be losing. Hey, Russell, come save the game. Let Russell play early and display the type of player he is early. Instead of playing catch up at the end of the game, you can just run the ball to kill the game. And so if they do that early, I like Seattle, no problem.
Miami at Cam in New England. Who do you like and why?
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Yep. I don't know what to expect out of New England. I don't know what to expect out of Cam. You can be excited and you can bring Super Cam out, but once the whistle blows, Super Cam, nobody cares about that. It's probably the worst collection, and it's no disrespect of skill players that he's played with in his career, even when he was in Carolina. And so they're going to bring it defensively. The Patriots are going to be in a game defensively. But you look at it, I would have to go with Miami. They beat they in essence knocked the Patriots from a home field playoff or a playoff bye last year, the last game of the season. And so you would think they're improved.
Yeah.
New offense, didn't get signed till super late. Does he really know it? They're going to probably run a zone read often and try to capitalize on his athleticism. But I like Miami.
Dallas at the Rams. Who do you like and why?
Man, I think Dallas has one of the better teams in the league, but for some reason, new head coach, no offseason, Dak no contract, and then Sean McVay being who he is.
Yeah.
And if the Rams can stay healthy, and you would assume they are, but you talked about earlier, these new wrinkles – that's what Sean McVay is going to get at Cowboys on Sunday.
Yep.
New wrinkles that they haven't seen, plays that they've worked on in practice that they really are anxious to see how they play out in the game. That's what McVay is going to do. And so new stadium, I'm sure it's nice. I like the Rams in this one.
Good seeing you, buddy. You look great. I'm going to move into a new home eventually.
Man, yeah.
TJ Hushmanzada, thanks, buddy.
Appreciate it, Colin. Take care, man.
Try M-Drive Boost and Burn, the one supplement I take every day. Check it out, mdriveformen.com. Walgreens, Rite Aid, Vitamin Shop, all have it. Lean muscle, energy for sometimes when you need it. Joy Taylor with the news.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Well, tight ends have shown their extreme value over the last couple years.
Certainly elevated the position
as far as how you're getting paid.
Yeah.
And Zach Ertz has played his entire career with the Eagles. He has 2 years left on his current deal and would like to remain in Philly, but the way the contract talks have been going, he says he's not sure if that's going to happen.
Obviously, it's been frustrating at times. It's been difficult. I said all along I want to be here for the long run. I don't know for sure if that feeling is mutual, but I know I'm gonna play this year like it is my last year, and I'm gonna leave everything I possibly have in the tank for this team and the city, because that's what this city deserves, nothing less.
I like my young quarterbacks, and Wentz is still fairly young. I like him having good tight ends. I don't like giving up. I'll give up on the deep threat sometimes. Man, I like security blankets.
Yeah, and you know, he's somebody that should be getting paid. That's kind of, there's a little bit of fighting words from Ertzer. That's not very subtle what he said.
But I'll make this argument. He's not a deep threat. So it's interesting. He's a volume guy.
Right. But that's significant.
It
and
is.
He played
it
in
is.
Philadelphia.
He's an interesting one because, like, George Kittle is, like, changing the game. Like, literally down the field. Travis Kelce is changing the game. Ertz is worth money somewhere. But, you know, Philadelphia's paid Wentz and Fletcher Cox and now Darius Slay. They have a good tight end behind him. It's a tough call on that. I could see Philadelphia, and I like Zach, but Zach's really good. Is he a game breaker? Like Kellen Winslow, you're like, he literally changed the game. I think George Kittle changes games.
Well, yes, and he just got 5 years, $75 million with the 49ers, and Kelce got 4 years, $57 million with the Chiefs, so he's a little more than a year younger than Kelce and 3 years older than Kittle. He has more catches through the first seven seasons of his career than any other tight end in NFL history.
He's
the only tight end in the league who's led his team in catches and receiving yards in each of the past four seasons.
He's super dependable, but it's a hard cap league, Joy.
The
choice
it
is,
but I feel like if you want to keep someone, like, you can move and manipulate the cap. It is a hard cap, but it just is a matter of who you want to pay and what you're willing to sacrifice. If you feel like you have someone behind him that's going to do those numbers or be that reliable, then you have to take that risk. You know, it's hard to keep everybody there. I personally would try and find a way to pay him, especially with the value the tight ends have. As you mentioned, with a young quarterback, having a reliable guy that knows the system, it's, you know, I would try to keep him there. So the Texans lost to the Chiefs 34-20 last night, but the game was not as close as the score would make it seem.
It wasn't.
Houston got a little bit of life there at the end. He was kind of wanted to do something spicy with the last 2:30
With the Rockets and Texans, it wasn't, in both of them, it really wasn't that close. Like, yeah, the Rockets game.
The last minute of the Rockets game, you're like, wait a minute. No.
Typical Rockets, they hit some threes, they get back into it. Right. But it was, and this game was not competitive.
No, it was not close at all. Houston had trouble on both sides of the ball against the defending champs, and Bill O'Brien says his team has a lot of work to do to get better.
Yeah, there's a lot of things to fix. It's one game, and we have to improve very quickly, but it is just one game. And so we have to get back here and players will be off a little bit this weekend, but we got to get back to work very soon and fix these things.
They were down 31-7 in the fourth and scored two garbage time touchdowns.
Yeah, it was a total. Listen, Houston gets dogged a lot for now. It should be noted they get dogged a lot by Kansas City recently. So maybe we could make the argument, well, they're good. They're just not good against that team. Like, Baltimore's good against everybody except Kansas City. Maybe it's just Kansas City.
I mean, Houston finds a way in the playoffs every year.
I know, but
I love Deshaun Watson. Like, I would just love to see him in a situation where you really felt like they were significant contenders for the Super Bowl. And it just feels like they're a good team that just doesn't have all the pieces. They have the quarterback.
Well, here's the good news for Houston. They play Baltimore next week.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So the Raptors and the Celtics meet tonight in a Game 7. Love a good Game 7. Both teams were pushed to the limits in a double overtime Game 6 on Wednesday with multiple starters on both sides playing 50 or more minutes, which is good news for the Miami Heat. Boston has the better all-time record in Game 7 at 23-9, but they've lost 4 of their last 7. And even though they're in the bubble, home and road classification still applies. So both teams are 0-3 when playing as the home team. Game 7 will be considered a Toronto home game. If you're buying into that, it's a little bit like Toronto music and, you know, virtual fans. Raptors are 3-2 in Game 7s. And obviously the winner of this game will play the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
A lot of people like the Raptors tonight. A lot of people
I think
do.
I like the Raptors as well. Yeah. I'd also like to see the Raptors in the Eastern Conference Finals over the Celtics. for matchup purposes. But either way, you know, you can't go wrong with a game seven. It's going to be competitive and fun. I just, man, it just feels like both these teams are just missing
something.
And this is why I love the Raptors with Kawhi, because they are like right there, solid, good culture, competitive every year, but they need a superstar. That's kind of how it looks for everyone at the East at this point.
Yeah. Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
By the way, Cowboys are the most valuable NFL franchise. Joy said earlier, $5.7 billion. The Rams are the fourth most valuable team. If you want to know why St. Louis Rams are now the LA Rams, that's the reason why. In 5 years, the Rams have become three times more valuable. Kansas City is 25th most valuable, Green Bay 14th. When teams move, they split revenue. So this is why the owners, Jerry Jones, get St. Louis. In St. Louis, you couldn't build SoFi Stadium. You couldn't get half the budget for it. And by the way, what's SoFi Stadium do? More revenue? League shares revenue? Bring another team into Los Angeles? So, I mean, that just goes to show you this morning, by the way, Joy, the Jets are the sixth most valuable, the Giants are the third, and the LA Rams are four. And yet the champion Kansas City Chiefs with Mahomes and Andy Reid are $2.5 billion. So it just goes to show you, if you ever wonder why teams relocate, it's, you know, like Hartford lost the Whalers. It's not the NHL's fault. The town was dying. St. Louis.
There's more money in bigger cities.
Yes.
There's more people there.
And you split revenues, and this is, you know, SoFi Stadium. I've watched local news, and they're all doing special.
It looks incredible.
It's such a bummer they're not going to have fans.
Yeah, I've never seen anything like it. It's insane.
It's really amazing. When you fly into L.A., depending on where you fly, it's off to the right of the plane.
It looks like a spaceship.
It's crazy looking. Spaceship. Jinx.
Jinx, you owe me Coke.
Or a pickle if we have sandwiches. Oh, that was
love
the other.
Pickles, yes.
That all was right, J-Mac.
Lives tweet.
Jason McIntyre is coming up next. Tomorrow's headlines today to wrap up a Friday show. Check engine light comes on. We all freak out and have anxiety. Unless you have CarShield, good warranty, 10% off. Go to carshield.com, code HERD. Got to have the code to get the 10% off. Deductible may apply. CarShield.com, code HERD.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Well, it's one of my favorite moments of the week. Jason McIntyre, former newspaper guy, got out of that business, decided to join us in the TV digital radio world, and he is joining us for tomorrow's headlines today. It's a crazy segment where he is bizarrely accurate. Let's bring in Jason McIntyre, who is, as always, fresh and ready to go on a Friday to close out our show. Yeah. All right. So hope everything's going well for you and your family. Last night, it looked like football to me. I thought it was pretty good.
I loved it. Yeah. I think the preseason is toast at this point, right? I mean, who needs a preseason? Football looked great to me.
Yeah. Forget the preseason. Nonsense. All right. Here we go. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for Eagles at the Washington football team.
I like the Eagles a lot this year, Colin, but not in the opener. The headline will be Washington makes Wentz wince. Give me the Washington Football Club. Wow, I almost said the R word there. Colin, this is basically one of those matchup situations. You know the fantasy guys, the casual fans, they like offense and skill position players, but these games are won in the trenches. We saw it last night, right? The Chiefs sack Watson four times, hit him eight times, and they dominate the line of scrimmage. Well, the Philadelphia Eagles, who have an injury report longer than my CVS receipt, okay? They already have two starting linemen down.
Yeah.
What's the strength of of Washington? The defensive line, Chase Young. I think they rattle Wentz. I think the Washington Football Club pulls the upset in the opener.
By the way, I believe this. This defensive line for Washington, it's a real deal. Like, it may be a bad team, but bad teams have good units. And Washington's defensive front, I can't wait to watch Chase Young. Yeah. That's another guy I cannot wait
to
watch
play. First round picks on that defensive line, Colin.
Yeah, really interesting. We've kind of forgotten him with Joe Burrow and all the quarterbacks. Chase Young was maybe the best college football player last couple of years. Monster. Tomorrow's headlines today, what's it going to be? For Seahawks, the Falcons.
I know you have a man crush on Russell Wilson. However, the headline will be Falcons, Russell, some feathers. I like Atlanta here. Now, nobody's really talking about the Falcons. You know, they're kind of a team that screwed around last year, awful start, and everybody loves Seattle. I think I'm the only human in sports media who has Seattle out of the playoffs. Colin, I talked about it a couple weeks ago. This offensive line is a problem. The right side totally different than last year. And remember, the secondary, three new starters from last year, including your guy Jamal Adams. It's just a tall ask to go into Atlanta and face Julio and Ridley and Matty Ice and now Todd Gurley. I think Atlanta gets him here. And remember, Pete Carroll, whom you love, has, what for whatever reason, started very slowly on the road, 1-5 as head coach of Seattle, starting openers on the road. I like Atlanta to steal one here.
By the way, Matty Ryan's play. Matty Ice been very good against Pete Carroll defenses. Some guys figure it out, and Matt Ryan, maybe it's because Matt Ryan's head coach used to be under Pete Carroll, so he's seen a lot of it.
Quinn, yes.
Yeah, tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Cardinals at 49ers.
Ooh, this might be my second favorite game of the weekend behind Jets-Bills, of course. The headline will be NFC West changes in a Murray. How about that one, Colin?
Ooh, I like
Arizona shocking the 49ers. This is another situation where we've got two rematches, right? The one I mentioned earlier, and now Arizona. They played so tough against the Niners last year. Kyler Murray in two starts as a rookie against a top five defense, four touchdown passes, a touchdown run, and zero turnovers. Now he's second year under the Kingsbury offense, and you toss in DeAndre Hopkins. I think this Arizona football team will move the ball quickly. They were top five in tempo last year. 49ers bottom five, right? Kyle Shanahan wants to run the ball, eat the clock, doesn't trust Jimmy G the way the Cardinals trust Murray. I think Arizona, big underdog here, pulls the upset.
Oh, I love it. Made me want to watch the game. Tomorrow's headlines today. Headline for the Cowboys-Rams. I like L.A. this weekend.
You know, ordinarily, we would probably go to this game, right? It's at SoFi Stadium, which, as you said, is gorgeous. And I wish I could be there because the headline will be Genius Card Renewed. Colin, I think you were the first guy to pull the card away from McVay.
I did.
And this is, Colin, there's no bigger narrative game than this one, okay? Right now, the narrative, the Rams, they went to the Super Bowl, and now they're fading, and they missed the playoffs, they stink, and the Cowboys are ascending. They got a new coach. They got CeeDee Lamb, Dak Prescott. But be careful with these narrative games. I think the Rams might be my favorite play of the weekend.
It might be mine, too, yeah.
Listen, Jared Goff and McVay are going to destroy this Dallas secondary. They're starting a cornerback at cornerback number two. Okay, the defensive line missing McCoy, and that offensive line for Dallas, which was such a strength, is down to just two holdovers, Tyron Smith and Zach Martin, and they got to face Aaron Donald, a new center. I think this is a problem game for Dallas. I like the Rams a lot here. By the way, you know three is a key number in gambling. Line's down to 2.5. That's a big tell.
He's good at this stuff, Joy. Tomorrow's headlines today. Finally, headline for America's Game of the Week, Bucks at Tom Brady and the Saints.
Yes, this is a pretty good game.
Tom Brady, now Drew Brees and the Saints. Sides. I screwed that up. Drew Brees and the Saints. Go ahead.
Yes, it's okay. All right, the headline will be Easy Breezy Brady Queasy.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite headlines ever here. Colin, the New Orleans Saints, you know I picked them to go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Everybody's hung up on their slow starts. Crazy stat, in weeks 1 and 2, the last like 7 years, the Saints are 2-15 against the spread. They've really struggled out of the gate. They've lost their last 6 home openers. So you're like, why are you picking the Saints? Well, this is a narrative thing. The Tom Brady new situation in Tampa, new tight end, new offensive lineman. They got a rookie on the offensive line. And Colin, I like Tom Brady as much as you. But when you look at his numbers the last few years, they're all going down except for one number, his age. He's now 43 years old. We've never seen a quarterback in the NFL start more than 6 games at the age of 43. And I think this game one's a wake-up call for Brady and the Bucks. I like the Saints here convincingly.
Wow, we agree on this stuff. So my favorite pick of the week is Atlanta on Blazing 5. My second favorite pick is the Rams. You know, I hate swallowing a lot of points, but I did today. I think Baltimore is going to roll over Cleveland. What's your gut feeling on that?
On the Straight Fire podcast daily on iTunes and Spotify, I gave out my best bet this weekend. It's the Cleveland Browns. Now, I got 8. I was in Vegas last week. I drove out to the desert, got some money down on the Browns at 8. It's down to 7.5. Again, I just think – remember last year, Cleveland went to Baltimore as 7-point underdogs and won by 15. I think easily Baker Mayfield, new head coach. I like the run game. I'm all over the Browns here. I'm sorry. We're on different sides. That's a good thing.
Yeah, sure. Disagreement. Disagreement's only good if I'm right and you're wrong. Then I love disagreement.
Oh, of course.
Otherwise,
obviously,
it stinks.
Yes.
Jason McIntyre, tomorrow's headlines today. Great stuff as always. Thanks, Jace.
Yeah, see you soon, buddy.
You know what I like? He really does dig. The Eagles at Washington, he made that one. If I didn't put that on Blazing 5. He made a really good point. Eagles O-line's a mess. D-line Ron Rivera. Chase Young, I forgot all about that. I got to watch Chase Young for the Washington football team. Very excited. Very excited. Emmanuel Acho, Marcellus Wiley are going to be coming up next. Want to thank everybody who stopped by today. Kevin Clark, The Ringer, Steve Berline, Chris Broussard, TJ Hushmanzada, and our friend J-Mac, Straight Fire Podcast every day. For joining everybody here, we'll see you Monday.